and turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. The Lord laid this message upon my heart, and I want to try my best to deliver what thus saith the Lord today. If you find your place in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah in chapter 6, would you say amen? So I know you're with me. Nehemiah chapter 6.
Amen.
Nehemiah chapter 6. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, because without Him we can do nothing.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before You today with humble hearts. We thank You, God, for the fellowship, Lord, that we've already enjoyed. We thank You, God, for the presence of the sweet Spirit of God. Lord, we are confident that You are present. And Lord, it's our desire to get out of the way and let You have preeminence this morning during the preaching hour. God, I pray that You touch these lips of clay. God, that in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my failures, God, that You would speak through me and use me this morning to encourage somebody's heart. God has already been expressed so well through song and that last song. Lord, it's also our desire that nobody would leave here lost today. And God, I pray You take the message, You do what You see fit to do with it. Speak to our hearts. Help somebody today. Lord, we give You all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Are you there with me in Nehemiah chapter 6?
Amen.
Let's begin reading. I want to begin in verse 1. Read down through verse 13. The Bible says in Nehemiah 6:1, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." How many of you have heard enough preaching on Nehemiah that you know don't go to Ono?
Amen.
The Bible says, "But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work.
Amen.
So that I cannot come down, why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Verse 7 says, And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. And then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I want you to pay close attention to the next few verses. Verse 10 says, "Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee in the night. They will come to slay thee." Verse 11 says, "And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid, and do so in sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." I want to draw your attention this morning back to verse 11. I take my title this morning and the thought for my message from this verse, verse 11, where Nehemiah said, "Should such a man as I flee?" Let me say this morning that I want to speak to you for just a few minutes and give you a message that's not meant to be a chewing out, but a challenge. Not meant to be so much a rebuke, but a reminder to be about our Father's business. My topic this morning, I'm talking about confidence. I'm talking about commitment. And I'm talking about courage in the face of compromise. I'm also talking to you this morning about hiding in the church house. Now, in the passage of Scripture that we read, we find Nehemiah in the midst of doing a great work. He is rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Are you with me? Say amen. I want you to know that Nehemiah is in the midst of doing a great work. And in the midst of that great work, we find that he is offered a comfortable, convenient compromise. I want you to know that today that you and I are being offered the same comfortable, convenient compromise. I want you to know that today you and I have the option of hiding in the church house. But I want to say this morning, when we are presented with that compromise, our answer ought to be the same as Nehemiah's. We ought to say, should such a man as I flee, I will not go in. Hey. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to preach on that subject, should such a man as I flee. Now, I want you to see, as I've already said, that Nehemiah is in the midst of doing a great work. He's offered a compromise. Listen, this foe who presents himself as a friend comes and says, Nehemiah, what you and I ought to do is just go and hide in the house of God. Now, I want you to stay with me this morning. I want you to notice that in the church house, if Nehemiah had chosen to follow that advice and accept the compromise, that by doing so, Nehemiah would have had company. You see, this man who presented this compromise, Shemaiah, who was the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, he came and offered the compromise to Nehemiah and said, what you and I ought to do, because there's danger outside, because there's discouragement, and because there are distractions, you and I ought to just go and hide in the church house. In the church house, as I've said, if he had taken that compromise and hidden, Nehemiah would have had company. You see, I want you to notice that this man who presented this idea to him, even though Nehemiah was doing a great work, this man who presented this work, this compromise unto him, was a foe who was pretending to be a friend. Amen. Can I say today that there are multitudes who will keep you company if all you want to do is hide in the house? I said if Nehemiah had accepted this compromise, he would have had company. He'd have had a foe who was pretending to be a friend. Let me say next of all that if Nehemiah had accepted the compromise to just hide in the church house when the work was to be done outside, he would have had concealment. Can I say, listen, that the compromise that was offered was not just let's go into the church house, but let's go into the inner sanctum and let's hide ourselves till the storm passes, till it's all over, till there's no more discouragement, no more distraction, and no more danger. Let's just hide in the house of God. Nehemiah, if he'd accepted the compromise that was offered by this foe who pretended to be a friend, would have had company. He would have had concealment. And listen to me real carefully this morning. If he had accepted the compromise offered unto him to just hide in the house of God, Nehemiah would have had comfort. Can I say to you today, the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You say, preacher, what's your point this morning? I want to say to you this morning that I believe too many of us, when we ought to be about a great work, doing our Father's business, I believe that we have taken the compromise that's been offered by a foe who presents himself as a friend, and we have decided that it's easier. There's more company, more concealment, and more comfort if we just hide in the church house. Are you still with me this morning? Say amen. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Brother Russell, I thought surely we'd swing from the chandeliers today. Well, we don't have any, so we can't do that. I know what you're thinking. Preacher, why didn't you pull out your sugar stick today and give us something that we could jump pews over? I wish I could, but I need to give you what God gave me. Listen, I told you as I began the introduction that this is not meant to be a chewing out. It's meant to be a challenge for you and for me. It's for the preacher in the pulpit as well as those sitting in the pew. I'm saying this morning that if this message ends up being a rebuke, then take it from God Almighty. But it's meant to be a reminder this morning that you and I ought to be about the Father's business, not just hiding in the church house. Nehemiah, when presented with that compromise, it would have been so easy. When he could have been comfortable, when it was convenient, and when he could have just compromised, his reply was a question, should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee? Listen, I want to say to you that that's a rhetorical question, but it's a question that you and I need to ask ourselves. I want to say it this way. In spite of all that Nehemiah, in spite of all that he could have had by taking that compromise, Nehemiah replies this way, should such a man as I flee, I will not go in. When I read that, I said, now, how could Nehemiah say such a thing? I mean, he knows that there's enemies on the outside. He knows that they're coming against him. He knows that there's discouragement outside. He knows there's distractions. He is aware of the danger. He's given a compromise that would have been comfortable for him, and yet he responds with the questions, should such a man as I flee? I said to myself, now, why would he say such a thing? Should such a man as I flee? And I want to say that, first of all, that question was not his reply because of arrogance. Amen. It was not arrogant. Stay with me. Nehemiah replied that way when offered an easy compromise because of assurance. Amen. Can I say today that Nehemiah was not cocky? He was confident. How could he say such a thing in the face of discouragement, distraction, and danger? I believe there are three reasons Nehemiah's reply was, should such a man as I flee, I will not go in. I believe he replied that way when he could have taken the easy way out and just hidden in the house until it was all over. I believe he replied that way because, listen, he had a God, first of all. Second of all, I believe he replied that way because he had a goal. And thirdly, I believe he replied that way because Nehemiah had some guts. Amen. Are you still with me this morning? Say amen. God bless the rest of you. I'll try to help you. Listen, I want you to look with me, if you would, in the book of Nehemiah for just a few minutes. I want you to see those three things this morning. I have 3 points. Let me ask y'all something. Do you believe in congregation participation? I know most of you do. Can you help me this morning? How many points did I say I had? 3. Now, I know what you're doing. You're doing the arithmetic. You're saying, well, if he preaches 15 minutes a point, we're going to be here a long time. But can I say this morning that my introduction's a whole lot longer than my message? If you stay with me, I want to give you something simple from the Word of God this morning, help you and encourage your heart. I want you to see real simply this morning that I believe there's a reason that Nehemiah replied the way that he did, when it would have been easier to take the compromise and hide out in the church house. Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee? No, because I have a God, I have a goal, and I have some guts. You see, I believe there's a pattern here for you and for me. I believe that in this day we're being offered the same compromise by our enemy Satan, old Slewfoot, old Sooty Face himself. It's saying to the Church of the Living God, hey, it's dangerous out there. It's discouraging out there. There's all kind of distractions. Why don't you just hide in the house? But you and I ought to reply, should such a man as I flee? I cannot do it because I have a God, first of all. I want you to see this with me. Turn, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Nehemiah chapter 1, I said I believe that Nehemiah replied that way, not out of arrogance, but out of assurance. I don't believe it was because he was cocky. It was because he was confident in his God. Nehemiah knew he had a God. Watch this. I want you to see in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Are you there with me? The Bible says that it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before who? The God of heaven. Now I keep reading. It says that they beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. You say, what's your point, Brother Russell? I want you to notice in those two passages of scripture who Nehemiah was praying before. He was praying before none other than the God of heaven. I want you to notice in verse 5, he's called the God of heaven. In chapter 5, he's called, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God. I want you to understand something this morning. God laid it upon my heart that too many of us are hiding out in the church house and taking the compromise because of the danger, the discouragement, and the distractions that are outside. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I want to encourage your heart to remember that we cannot flee because we have a God. Listen, I want to say to you this morning that it's important in this first point of the message to explain exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to understand that Nehemiah had a God. First of all, I want you to understand that Nehemiah knew that he had a God who was present. Who was present. Can I say to you that God is everywhere present? He is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at the same time. I want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. Listen, Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee, when he was offered compromise and comfort, because he knew he had a God. Watch this, listen. I want you to notice that he had a God who, I said, was present. Now, I want you to notice this. Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. When you find your place, say amen, so I know you're with me. The Bible says in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Read the last part of the verse out loud with me, would you? A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, excuse me, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Watch this, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. You say, what's your point, Brother Russell? I want you to notice something. I want you to see verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is where? With us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Say, Brother Russell, what are you trying to say to us this morning? Real simply put, I want you to say, when you and I are offered a compromise, when we're offered the comfort and convenience of hiding in the church house like so many are doing, our reply ought to be what Nehemiah said, should such a man as I flee, I will not go in because I know I have a God. He knew he had a God who was present. But watch this. He also knew that he had a God who would provide. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8 with me. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8. Nehemiah 2 and verse 8. Now, for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to give you a history lesson on the book of Nehemiah. You can say amen right there. I know there's chicken waiting for us. So I want to say to you, listen, that if you would take your own time and study out the book of Nehemiah, if you're not aware of the history that's taking place here, but I want you to get this. I said Nehemiah could respond in such a way when it would have been easier just run and hide in the church house because he had a God who was present. But listen, he had a God who provided. Watch this. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8, the short version of the story is that a heathen king has given Nehemiah letters to get exactly what he needs to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 8, in a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates to the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house I shall enter into. Watch this. And the king granted me according to the good hand of who? My God upon me. I'm trying to get you to see something real simple. Nehemiah was doing a great work. He was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And he replied the way he did when offered a compromise because he knew he had a God who was present, but also he knew he had a God who would provide. Now, why is it significant that he had a letter from the king? Because the king himself was a heathen. God Almighty moved in his heart and softened his heart about this thing Nehemiah was doing. And I want you to notice that miraculously, God Almighty, who was present, provided what Nehemiah needed. I want to say to you in the wilderness that God's people had nothing to eat and God rained manna down from heaven. I want to say to you that in this passage in Nehemiah 2:8 that God used a man to provide what was needed for God's people. And thirdly, I want you to notice that God can make a way where there is no way. Simply put, listen, Nehemiah knew he had a God who was present and who provided. But watch this. Turn to Psalm 91 with me. I want to show you something else. Hold your place in Nehemiah because we'll come back. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. When you find your place, say amen so I know you're with me. I said Nehemiah knew he had a God who was present, who provided, and who protected. Watch Psalm 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know how you can find yourself under the shadow of the Almighty? You got to get real close up to His heart. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Listen, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I want you to notice Nehemiah knew he had a God who was present, who provided, and who protected him. Watch this. I want you to see something that's of utmost importance. So, I want you to notice that Nehemiah could respond the way he did instead of compromising and running and hiding in the church house because he had a God who was personal. Now I'm going to slow down right here for just a minute because I need to address the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all all know this verse and we can quote it out loud. I'm trying to say to you this morning that it's important, it's imperative for your eternal soul that you today know for sure that your relationship with God is personal. For sake of time, just let me relate this account to you. But after Christ resurrected in John chapter 20, we find that Thomas, one of his followers, his disciples, was not present when Jesus appeared by walking through a locked door. He was told about it by the other disciples, and the next time meeting time came, Thomas was there. Jesus appeared unto him. Thomas had already said he would not believe the Lord was resurrected unless he could put his fingers into the holes in his hand and thrust his hand into the spear wound in his side. Jesus appeared and said to Thomas, "Reach hither and put your fingers in my hand and put your hand in my side." And Thomas bowed down and said, "My Lord and my God." I want you to know this morning, as I've already said, the question must be settled today. Do you have a personal God? See, Nehemiah could have run and hidden in the church house. But he responded, "Should such a man as I flee, no, I'll not go in," because he was confident he had a God who was present, who provided, who protected him, and who was personal to him. Listen, in Exodus chapter 12, you'll find the story of the Passover. How the lamb, as typological a picture of Christ, was slain and his blood was applied to the doorpost. And the wrath of God would bypass all those who had the blood on the doorpost. Listen, but I want you to see what was said about that lamb. Go with me, if you would, to Exodus 12. I want to show you something. Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible. Genesis 12. Exodus 12, I'm sorry. Exodus 12. Can you find any place, say amen, so I know you're with me. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man," watch this, "a lamb." If you're in the habit of underlining your Bible, underline that verse where it says "a lamb," according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Watch verse 4, though. It says, "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." You notice in verse 4, it's called the lamb. You had a lamb and then the lamb. But watch verse 5. What are the first two words? "Your lamb." "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or out from the goats." And then it goes on and explains the process of applying the blood unto the doorpost. Listen, I want you to notice the progression. That Passover lamb, that sacrificial lamb, was a lamb. It was the lamb. But it was also a personal thing. I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus Christ your lamb? Is He your sacrificial lamb? Is your relationship with God personal? Let me put it real plainly this morning. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? I want you to understand something. In order to have confidence in the midst of the work, you're going to have this thing nailed down that you have a God who is personal. I'm saying to you, listen, Nehemiah could say, "Should such a man as I flee, no, I'll not go in the face of opposition and compromise," because he knew he had a God. Now, I said I had 3 points. That's big point number one. I want to give you big point number two real quickly. I said Nehemiah could reply that way because he had a God. I hope you know for sure this morning, you got it nailed down, that God is your personal God. You have been saved by the grace of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness." Listen, "But His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You say, "Preacher, what's your point?" I want you to understand something. God wants a personal relationship with you. God wants you to have the confidence that Nehemiah had to be able to say, "I have a God. Should such a man as I flee, no, because I have a God. I'll not go in." Watch this second point this morning. Nehemiah could respond that way in the face of compromise and in the face of difficulty and distractions and discouragement because Nehemiah had a goal. Amen. Let me ask you something. If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there? Amen. I believe that the majority of the Church of the Living God today has no idea what the goal of the church is. You say, preacher, you meddling. Well, let me say this. I want to make it real plain. The church is not in the business of social work. Amen. The church is not in the business of social work.
Right.
You say, wait a minute, preacher. I thought we were supposed to do good to them that need help, and that's exactly right, we are. But I want to remind you this morning that the focus, the focal point of the local church is to spread the gospel and disciple those who have been saved so they can go out and spread the gospel. Amen. You say, what is the gospel? Well, the Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. That word gospel means good news. Amen. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless Son of God, shed His blood willingly, voluntarily, and died for your sins and mine so that we could be saved and spend eternity in heaven. But watch this, I'm saying to you, the goal in Nehemiah's day and in our day was to finish the work. You see, I believe that you and I have lost sight of the goal. Nehemiah had a goal, and it was to finish the wall that was around Jerusalem. In chapter 6, you'll find that the wall was completed in 52 days. I'm saying to you, listen, that you and I are doing a great work. You and I, as a church of the living God, are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel, the love, the good news that God cares for lost sinners. Amen. We have a work to do that is great. We're in a war, and there is a wall to be built, so to speak.
Amen.
Now listen, I want you to see something. I'm talking about Nehemiah had a goal. Let me show you what the goal is. Look at 2 Timothy 4:7 with me. 2 Timothy 4:7. I'm losing my voice. I apologize for that. My wife said when I start losing my voice, I sound like Winnie the Pooh. So maybe that'll entertain some of you. Amen. I want you to see 2 Timothy 4:7. If you can't find 2 Timothy, it's right after 1 Timothy. Hope that helps you. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. You see that? Talking about the goal. I hope you have a goal this morning. Watch verse 6. The Bible said, the Apostle Paul put it this way, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knows he's about to check out. He's about to be beheaded. And he says this, excuse me, in verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want you to understand that there is a goal, and that goal is to finish well. And hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy rest. Watch this. 2 Timothy 4:7 we've already seen, but I also want you to see what John 4:34 says. John 4:34. If y'all are hungry, say amen.
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 Preaching.
John 4:34, you got it? Say amen. I want you to see this. Y'all know the story of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. His disciples were wondering if somebody had given him meat to eat while they were gone. And watch what he said in verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Watch, read the last phrase with me, and to finish his work. Listen, this morning, real simply, I'm trying to tell you something. I want you to know you ought to have some confidence, not in yourself, but in your God. You and I ought to have some commitment to the goal, and we ought to have some courage to go on. Watch this. Nehemiah had a goal. He knew the goal was to finish, to build the wall, to finish well. I told you that in 52 days you'll find that the wall was completed. I want you to see something. Go with me to John chapter 19 now. John chapter 19. Y'all help me out. Who's our supreme example? Who is our pattern as the Church of the Living God? Who is it? Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something in John chapter 19. You there with me? In John chapter 19, I want you to look with me in about verse 28. John chapter 19, verse 28, the Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and that Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. He's hanging on the cross about to give up the ghost. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Watch verse 30 closely. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, what are the next three words? It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Simply put, I want you to see that phrase, it is finished, is the Greek word tetelestai. What it means is it's a Greek commercial term, and it was used back in these Bible days to mean that the balance had been paid in full. There was nothing else that was owed. The slate could be wiped clean. But I'm trying to get you to notice something. When Jesus took upon himself the work of salvation, he carried it out to completion, and the Bible says for all time and eternity that it is finished because he understood the goal. Listen, I'm saying to you this morning that you and I, as saved children of God, need to understand that we have a God who can do anything, and we have a goal, and that goal is to finish and to finish well. Listen, most of us are floundering when we ought to be focusing. Most of us are stumbling when we ought to be standing. I want to say to you, most of us are shirking our duties when we ought to be sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. Listen, I know what time it is. Stay with me. I'm going to finish this point. We got one more. Can y'all say amen right there? But I'm trying to get you to see something this morning. Nehemiah said, you're such a man as I flee. No, I will not go in. When he could have compromised and just hid out in the church house, he didn't do that because he understood he had a God and he had a goal, and it was to finish the work that God had given him to do. Y'all know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2 when they found him. You remember when he was a young boy? He said, wist ye not I must be about my Father's business? That's what the church ought to be doing. Listen, you know that God didn't save us just to sit soaking sour. He saved us to serve and to share the gospel and to shout and to sing. I'm trying to say to you this morning, listen, that we have a God and we have a goal. Do you remember what it is? See, all these peripheral things that the church is involved in are all commendable. They're good. But not if we lose focus. The souls of men and women, boys and girls, are dropping off into hell daily while we are playing games and hiding in the church house. Now watch, I said Nehemiah said that because he had a God. I said he said that because he had a goal. Would have been easier for him to just hide out in the church house. He'd have had company. He'd have had comfort. He'd have had concealment. But he said, I can't go in. Because he had a God. Because he had a goal. But listen, because he had some guts. I want to show you that. Go with me to Nehemiah 6:11 again. To our text verse. Nehemiah 6:11. Nehemiah 6:11. Y'all got it? Nehemiah 6:11. Remember, he said, and I said, to such a man as I flee. And who is there that being as I am will go into the temple save his life? I will not go in. He said, a man like me can't run because I got a God. I got a goal. And listen, last of all, I got some guts. Can I ask you a question this morning? You got any guts? You say, yeah, I do. And right now they're rumbling. But listen, I'm trying to say to you this morning, I'm talking about guts. Now, I know when I say guts that those of y'all from Chester, y'all thinking about chitlins. But that ain't what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about some fortitude. I'm talking about some gumption. I'm talking about some backbone. I'm trying to say this morning that, listen, I'm concerned as we travel from church to church that God's people seem to have forgotten who their God is. We've forgotten what the goal is. And listen, we've left our guts somewhere down the trail of life. Can I say to you, listen, that old Nehemiah had some gumption. He said, yeah, it'd be comfortable for me. I'd have some company, and I could conceal myself in the house of God. I could just sit on the pew and pass the time, but I got guts. You got any guts this morning? Listen, it takes some guts to come and sit on a church pew, but it takes more guts to get up off the church pew and carry the gospel outside the doors of the church. This morning, listen, I believe we've got worship confused with service. What we're doing this morning is worship. Service takes place outside the doors of the church. You know why the church does not have more impact and influence than we do today? Because we have taken the compromise. We are hiding in the house. Now listen, Nehemiah had some guts. I'm going to close this very soon, so stay with me. I want you to notice something. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Is everybody still awake? Say amen. If you ain't, say oh me. I told y'all this probably 100 times, but one time I said that, two little boys said oh me. Listen, Joshua chapter 1, I want you to see this. Nehemiah had some guts, and you ought to as well. Joshua chapter 1. Now Moses has died. He's passing the scene. Joshua's taken over, leading the children of Israel, and they're about to cross the Jordan River and claim what God has for them in the Canaan land. The Bible says in verse 5, God said to Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." I want you to notice a common phrase in these next verses. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7 says only, "Be thou strong and very courageous." Look at verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Watch verse 9 again. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You got any guts this morning? Let me ask you a real pointed question, and I mean it with all due respect. Do you remember that you have a God? Do you remember that we have a goal? And do you have any guts? You see, God promised that He would be with Joshua. He has given the Church of the Living God in this New Testament age the exact same promise. But most of us are hiding in the house when the work is on the outside. Now, I want to say this morning by way of closing the message. I want to say that in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 10, we find that Joshua, after winning a great battle at the walls of Jericho, never having fired a shot, the walls fell down flat. Then he goes up on the next city called Ai, a little place that only had two letters in his name. And he finds himself soundly defeated, whipped like a dog with his tail between his legs. We find him on the ground in Joshua chapter 7. He's crying out to God and saying, "God, why'd you even bring us over here in the Canaan land? Why in the world didn't you just leave us over there on the other side of the river? Now we've been defeated. Here we are. Everybody's going to know that we've been defeated. You're going to look bad, God. I'm going to look bad. This is all your fault. We should have never started fighting this battle." You know what God said in Joshua 7 verse 10? "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Y'all married men, raise your hand if you hate it when your wife's right. Amen. I got enough backbone to say it. I hate it when my wife's right. Y'all probably don't think preachers get discouraged. There was a time not long ago when my lip was dragging the ground. I wanted to quit. I was mad at everybody, everything, and didn't think anything was worth doing. I was ready to just chuck it all. And my wife, as she does sometimes, gently rebuked me. How many of y'all know it wasn't gentle? She went and ran something off on the printer, and I didn't know what it was. She took it and put it up in the kitchen where we have a bulletin board. Y'all know what it said? It said, "Dirt is not your color." Dirt is not your color. Y'all know what that means? Get up. Can I say to you in Christian love this morning, the Church of the Living God needs to get up. We need to go on. It ain't God's fault we defeated, it's ours. Listen, I'm saying to you this morning that Nehemiah said, when given an opportunity to compromise, when given an opportunity to be comfortable, to be concealed, and to just hide in the church house, he had some confidence in his God. He had some commitment to the goal, and he had some courage to go on. He just had some plain old-fashioned guts. So here's the invitation. If our brother wouldn't mind coming to the piano, to play a hymn of invitation, if he's in here. He is in here. Bless his heart. Amen. If you would, brother, whatever God's laid on your heart is fine. Play softly. I want to ask you all to stand to your feet. You see, I've given you the message. Nehemiah, when offered compromise, is just sitting in the church house. He said, "I can't because I got a God, I got a goal, and I got some guts." You and I today have a choice. As he begins to play softly, whatever God's laid on his heart.